This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Hello, good morning. I'm Noelle Lim. Property development and tourism have been badly hit by the pandemic. One company that has not been spared is Malacca-based developer Yongtai that is now diversifying into COVID-19 vaccine distribution. I speak to Datuk Wira Bu Kuan Loon, the CEO, to find out more. Thank you for joining us today. So Yongtai has signed up with Shenzhen Kangtai, a manufacturer of biological products, to procure vaccines. Why distribute their vaccines and not AstraZeneca that they are also making and distributing in China?
Shenzhen Kangtai is basically the appointed manufacturers for this AZT's vaccines and distribute in China. But they doesn't own the vaccine, the rights of the vaccine, so they can't distribute the vaccines to other people. But them being one of the largest private vaccines company in the whole China, so in this context, they actually developed and produced their own vaccines, which is an inactivated virus vaccines for us to distribute. So it's just like their past vaccines, they are actually into rubella vaccines, into the hepatitis B vaccines, H1N1, and the others vaccine as well.
So Yongtai is committed to spend, I think, 15 to 20 million ringgit to run trials. What's the progress of the clinical trials so far, and when can we expect the first vaccine to be rolled out in Malaysia?
To carry out the clinical trial, we need to write all the phase 1 and phase 2 data, and design the trial, the phase 3 trial protocol. So we have already gotten our CRO, Clean Cells, to work on that already. We are on track to complete all our phase 3 clinical trial protocol by February to submit to NPRA and the ethics committee in MOH. NPRA is under MOH is called National Pharmaceuticals Regulatory Agency. So if we can get the approval, say around in March, then we can carry out our trial in around end of March or April. So the trial would take 6 months.
Okay, so realistically and conservatively speaking, maybe only in the earliest is October that a first group of people can be actually properly vaccinated?
Realistically, I will say yes, it will be towards the late third quarter or the early fourth quarter.
Now that we know that the vaccine is actually going to be made in China, it's not as maybe well known yet because we hear of names Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna. So how are you going to convince the public that they can trust this vaccine from China that's made by Kangtai?
So if you look at the WHO list, they are ranked number 16 in the WHO list that on the vaccines productions. And moreover, the technology they use is this inactivated virus vaccines, which is one of the most traditional vaccines developing method. So it's just like what the Sinovac and the Sinopharm they are doing. So using the same technologies to develop the vaccines. The China government's control very, very tightly. So they are not simply allowing any of the vaccines company to go outside. Take our situations as an example. Even for us to enter into agreement with this Shenzhen Kangtai, the agreement itself need to go through the China government for them to vet through, for them to endorse before the Shenzhen Kangtai is allowed to enter into that contract with us, that commercialized agreement with us.
What has been the results of trials outside China?
Shenzhen Kangtai's vaccines, they have not done the trial in overseas yet because they just gone through the phase 1 and phase 2. So Malaysia's and Latin America will be the place that they are going to carry out this phase 3 trial. So of which we will be the one that working with them to conduct this trial in Malaysia's being their first outside the China.
So Malaysia is going to be the guinea pig, and coupled with the fact that actually Yongtai is a property developer, it is not a pharmaceutical company. How confident we should be that Yongtai knows what it is really doing?
We are getting the right professionals people. We are getting the right advice. We are consulting the right party. We can't even carry out the trial without the MOH, the NPRA and the Ethics Committee's approval. There is a government, there is a regulatory government agencies that to control. So that's why we have to have the doctors, the professional doctors who set out the protocol. We may be the importer for the vaccines, but we need the CRO to design, to work on all those things and to do the submissions to work with MOH to get their approval.
And who pay the CRO? Will it be Yongtai or the government?
Yes, we will be the one that investing on all this. But of course, all these costs will be able to recoup back under our agreement with Shenzhen Kangtai. Upon successful, when the vaccines can be rolled out, so they will rebate us all these things through the price. So now going into phase three, the total sample size that they need to do is 30,000, of which they have identified Malaysians to do about 2,000, 8,000 to 3,000, about 10% of that. The rest they will need to do in other countries like Philippines, like Latin America, like Pakistan and elsewhere.
Yeah, so which also makes me wonder whether how confident we can be of results coming out from Latin America and China, because, you know, obviously there's a lot of money at stake here, right?
Okay, basically it's more about the confidence to the vaccines, to the methodologies of producing the vaccines. So it's not so much about the result. Actually, under the guidelines, even the vaccines with a 50% of the efficacy is good enough, is widely accepted by WHO. Vaccines such as from Pfizer or this Moderna, they have set a very high standard of 90% over. So, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the vaccines is not effective or whatever way. In fact, inactivated virus vaccines is one of the most efficient way if we look at the vaccine history in the past. Yeah,
I think the concern always it is about the side effects, which can be very damaging and it could bring on legal suit. So how prepared is Yongtai for things like that?
Yeah, basically, I think all this legal suit case has been addressed. Usually, all these products that by the manufacturers, they would have their insurance to cover for all those things. There is a strict process to go through before the vaccines can be rolled out. So no vaccines, actually, even the just like the trial vaccines can't even be brought into Malaysia without our MOH, NPRA and Ethics Committee's approval. So even today, I want to bring in the vaccines. It reached the airport, it will be stopped there already without the approvals from them. In a way, that is how we can cover all these things. We can address all the issues through all this method.
So you were quoted in the press to say that Yongtai will supply 100 million doses of the vaccine over a five-year period. So Dua Pharma had reported that I think it's looking to distribute 6.4 million doses from Russia. Pharma Niaga is looking at 12 million doses of Sinovac vaccine. How many do you expect, maybe let's say for 2022, assuming that's the first year you can really roll it out in a big way?
Okay, I think the 100 million over 5 years is the commitment that this Shenzhen Kangtai has given to us. It depends on the needs of the market here. Moreover, we don't just have the markets in Malaysia. They also given us the to cover the market in ASEAN and in some of the countries where they doesn't have the existence. So now we look at it is, I think for the first 1-2 years to achieve the 70% or 80% of the herd immunity, like for example, take Malaysians as the as a whole country, as a 32 million populations, we need about 40 to 50 million dosage. So considering every person need to take a 2 dose. So that will give us the markets to provide. We would think that Malaysians probably may still need another 10 more million. And it's a timing. I think now the issues with the vaccine is not so much about who has the vaccine first. It's who can produce and deliver the vaccines to the country that needs. Because the demand is high. There are so many countries that are required. It's just like you look at the EU having the issues with this AZT, AstraZeneca, that they can't get the vaccines on time. Like Pfizer is slowing down their production due to all those things.
You mentioned you have rights to distribute this vaccine in ASEAN countries. Are there any particular countries that you are targeting or you are still focusing on Malaysia for now?
I think we will first have to focus in Malaysia first. To achieve the herd immunity is the key that let the societies able to go back to normal. Then only people can move around. Then a lot of activities can be back to normal. And only then our core business, like all these tourisms and everything, can be back to normal.
So yeah. Pharmaniaga and Dua Pharma are also distributing these vaccines, and they have the network reach and pharmaceutical know-how. How will you compete with them?
So being the importers, we still need to work with the local pharmaceuticals company to tap along with their networks to reach out to all the GPs, the hospital, and everybody. So, of course, that is one of the ways to work with them. So I think that is how... otherwise, we may need to set up a teams to open accounts with everyone, which that will be quite time consuming and whatever thing. So I think we are still working with people like all these pharmaceuticals company for the distributions part.
We hear from the press, AstraZeneca is about maybe $4, Pfizer maybe $30 per shot, Moderna $10 to $50. What is the estimated price that you might charge for each dose?
Okay, so far our price with Shenzhen Kangtai, as in our HOA, they have committed to us is not exceeding $20 per dose. So, of course, there will be some, upon successful of the trial, then only they can identify what will be the ultimate prices and all those things. So, but we can safely say that it will be not exceeding 20, which is per dose is 80 ringgits, not exceeding that.
Certain vaccines will be used mainly in the urban areas, maybe because it's too expensive to distribute them out to the rural areas. I think so. Pfizer, that one Pfizer comes to mind. Do you foresee that for your vaccine, it will be distributed out to the rural areas? And how complicated would that logistics be compared to the other vaccines?
Our vaccines, the storage only required 2 to 8 degrees kind of storage. I think that is quite commonly the normal fridge and all those things can be utilized already. So unlike the Pfizer's, you require a minus 70s kind of temperature. So for distributions-wise, I don't see much issues logistics-wise and all those things. So whether it will be to rural or even to some of the private hospitals or whatever, I think it depends on where the market is.
On The Breakfast Guru this morning, we're speaking with Datuk Wira Bu Kuan Loon, the CEO of Yong Thai. After this, we'll discuss his plans for property development.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Datuk Wira Bu Kuan Loon, CEO of Yong Thai, a property developer in Malaysia, joins us today. I would like to discuss about the Encore Malacca Theatre building and the Impression Series concession to run live shows about the history and culture of Malacca. Now, this project has been a headache for you since it was launched in 2018, and before COVID-19, it has not been commercially successful. What's the reason?
The complexities in our tourism industries. When we do the Encore Malaccas, we always have a thought that we want to showcase our strength, our cultures, our things to the world. We think what we want to tell the world, what we want to show to the world. So, but probably it doesn't fit in that what the world want from us, what the tourists want from us here. To be very frankly, I even been told by some of the tourism's player that the inbound player that even I may give them the ticket free of charge, they may not even bring their tourists to come to visit to come to watch the shows. We rely more onto the free and easy people rather than the group tours, the bulk tourists, and that is where free and easy are in small quantum. So then we don't get the numbers that we need.
Agencies that handle group tourists, they like to send them to perhaps restaurants and shops where they can also get a commission. Is that the problem you face?
Yes, probably, because they may make even higher commissions and other things from elsewhere. Because our tickets per ticket is only talking about 100 plus ringgit, how much we can pay. And there's a limitations is because shoppings is different. Shoppings, people can buy unlimited. There's no limits of their spending.
How much is it per ticket to see the Impression Series?
Our tickets started with 128 ringgit. Of course, we do promotions. So for the normal seats and all those things, we do promotions. Sometimes it is below 100 ringgit. Compared to the other Impression Series in the world, it is actually quite affordable already.
So relative to other Impression Series across the world, this is affordable. But relative to what tourists, even international tourists, need to pay, it may be very high, because for 128 ringgit, I mean, this is even more than, visiting some of the most world-class art museums in Europe.
Not really, but if you go to, for example, says if we go to Europe's, we watch any of the, they have a lot of Broadway shows. I think in anywhere in Europe, in UK or in anywhere in US, I think we pay much more than $30 for any of the Broadway shows.
So that's Broadway shows, but Impression Series is a historical account of Malacca's history, right, and cultural heritage.
If you look at it, it is also a similar kind of the Broadway shows now. So it is also live performance, but it is just the storyline is talking about the Malaysians, the Malacca history, the culture. It is also something that is, if you have seen the shows before, it is really a world-class performance, I would say. Having the latest technologies, the latest performance methods and experience and everything. So, but that is, to a certain extent, it is a live performance similar to the Broadway. It's just that the story may be different.
And I'm told it's actually quite nice inside, and the technology may be quite cutting edge, and the storyline may be very interesting. Perhaps it is perception, right? When people just look at the ticket price, they're like, whoa, you know, it's even more expensive than going into the Rijksmuseum in the Netherlands.
For foreign tourists, free and easy, those are tourists from overseas. In fact, they find that the price is very much affordable. But I think the 100 over ringgit is about is maybe quite expensive for the local people. So comparing that going to watch a shows in the cinema only cost maybe 13 ringgit or how much, or 15 ringgit. But this 100 over ringgit to Malaysians, it may be become very expensive.
The bigger problem here is not just about Angkor Malacca, it's just about Malaysia as a whole, right? We are bringing in tourists that maybe the cheap and cheerful type, the mass market, who just love to eat and shop. And we're not bringing that high spenders who may, of course, they will also like to eat and shop, but, you know, who may have a bit more, maybe more cultural appreciation, or they're willing to pay top dollar. Is that the problem that actually Malaysia is facing for its tourism industry?
We have the numbers. Probably we talk about every year we have about 20 over millions of the tourist arrival. But the spending, I think to a certain extent, the spending have not achieved the so-called satisfied level yet.
The Tourism Authority, I've seen them sponsor MICE activities, trying to bring in more business travellers because presumably they have bigger wallets. Do you think that strategy is not successful?
I think we need to put ourselves in the better positions to compete with places like Singapore and other cities.
Maybe we are like in the middle, and that's the problem, because then tourists cannot figure out where we are really, and so they just end up going to Thailand for that real cheap and cheerful, vibrant tourism scene, or they just go to Singapore for that more sophisticated experience.
Yes and no, I will say. Yes, in the sense that we are falling in between, but no, I don't agree totally, because I still feel that our tourism's got the future, got the potential. It's just that how we maximize the effects of our, like our multiracial culture, like our a lot of natural, a lot of other things, that is where people who go to Thailand or go to Singapore cannot get. So now the issues is how our tourism can really improve in terms of the publicities to the world about the unique part about our tourism.
The government spent millions, maybe billions by now on tourism campaigns. So you think those campaigns perhaps need to be tweaked to, you know, really reflect what Malaysia's USP is?
I would think that if they can tweak to make sure that we really touch the tourist heart on what to tell them about Malaysia's, that we still stay a chance to bring them in to spend here.
Your view is that tourism and property development will not recover until 2023. In the meantime, you are burning millions to maintain Angkor Malacca, and the company has accumulated losses on its balance sheet. Would you sell the Angkor building and give up the Impression Series concession in the next few years to reallocate your resources?
So we are preparing ourselves to generate revenue from other businesses first, so that to go through this tough time. So when the markets recover, then only our theatre and our things stand a chance. The theatre has already been built ready. And it is one and only one in the whole country or even in this region to think of how to improvise the usage, the utilizations of the theater to turn it into something that generating the revenue. The investment has already been paid for. And I think that is where we keep moving. We keep looking at a new opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's very commendable that you want to contribute to at least the development of Malacca City, right? And to continue to help boost its tourism. But unfortunately, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And as I see it, this tourism business for you, a lot of the problems are beyond your control. It's very much dependent on government policy, how they run their tourism campaigns. You are just one part of the whole ecosystem, which has a lot of problems. So it seems to me it just makes sense as a businessman, CEO of a public listed company, to just cut the cancer, sell the building, and really just focus on the vaccine business. It's going to take up a lot of your time.
Yes, but of course, to sell the theatre is not that easy because we need to find the party who has a needs on it because it is very much a specific building. Yeah. So of course we doesn't rule out that options, which in fact earlier we did have some proposals received from one of the foreign company, but of course due to the pandemics, due to the COVID-19 issue, then the deal also fall because people also can foresee there won't be tourists in the near future, so that's why the deal eventually did not materialize.
Thank you for speaking with us and all the best. Dato' Wira Bu Kuan Lun, CEO of Yong Tai. I'm Noel Lim at BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.